Father comes today. Do you believe?
Hey.
Yes, only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. This morning, and if you have a special request this morning, why don't you just lift your hands unto the Lord? Hallelujah. We believe that He's here this morning. Because the Bible said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst. Lord, we want to declare that you're here this morning, Lord. And God, it makes a difference, God, when you are here. Because we know that everything else, oh God, doesn't even matter. Lord, we pray this morning that you would just forgive us of our sins and wash us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. And Father God, I pray, Lord, for your people that hear, Lord, the hands that went up before you, that you see, Lord, what they have need of. And God, you're the only one that can supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory. Lord, we ask you to take preeminence. Lord, we move ourselves out of the way, Lord. Oh God, for you to have your will in your way. May your Lord do something in our midst, Lord. May you vindicate your word this morning.
Hallelujah.
With many infallible proofs. Lord God, we pray this morning that you bless, Lord, our dear brother McFadden, Lord, and his congregation. Bless his family, Lord, his wife and children, God, that stands with him with the gospel of Jesus Christ. May you, Lord, forever keep them, knowing, God, that the enemy, God, desire to sift for blood, but you a keeper. Keep them fortified, Lord. Keep this local assembly. Bless our young people, Lord. God, we ask you for your mercy and grace, God, upon the service today, Lord, and for those who are here and those who are not here but desire to be here, Lord, but the enemy may hinder them. Lord, if there's any sick here this morning, may they leave out of here perfectly whole.
Amen, amen.
May every need be met.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I feel your presence, Lord, is already, God, here this morning. May you move me out of your way, Lord. Your spirit have preeminence. For we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Appreciate the Lord. Jesus Christ, we appreciate the worship of the songs this morning and all of you that press your way out. Amen. I'm Brother Jeremiah. Excuse me, you can be seated for a minute. I don't want to hold you like that. When you get up here, you know, your mind go blank almost. You forget about what you're going to say and everything gets blurry. You know, so we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It's good for me to be here. Amen. In Jesus Christ, it's been a little while. I appreciate your pastor giving us an opportunity to be with you all. And like he said, I've been here several times, but I never saw him. I said, Lord have mercy, he'd invite me, but he don't never be here. So this time he said, I'm going to be here this time. I said, you promise? You know, so he said, I'm going to be here. So we are glad, you know, to be able to be here to fellowship with him and you all in Jesus Christ's name. Like precious faith people, amen. I really enjoy, amen, the place. It just feel homey for me here, amen, Jesus Christ. Name. I bring you greetings from my wife and seven children. I got four girls and three boys. Amen. Jesus Christ's name. All of my girls are serving the Lord and one of my boys. So we praying like Brother McFan. So we put the other two in God's hand. Amen. Because we know that God is able to do more than what we can ask or think. Amen. I tell people all the time, you know, I remember my mother. You know, I came from a family of 12, and it was a bunch of us in a three-bedroom house. And you know how that can get. We had bunk beds in every corner. When there wasn't a corner, we made a corner. You know, but we really had a good time. My parents were strictly apostolic, always served the Lord since we were born. I was born in Tampa, Florida. And I want to bring you greetings from our pastor, Brother Henry Simmons. And also, I want to get your pastor to come to Columbia. Amen. He told me to be sure to tell him to come to Columbia soon. Amen. We really enjoyed him the first time we heard him just in the minister meeting. I said, wow. I said, how can a large man just have such a mellow spirit like that? You know, and that's what I look at. I look at a person's spirit, you know, to what kind of spirit he really has. And I just saw the character, you know, of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what we ought to see. Amen. But just appreciate, I'm not going to hold you because I know we all got some things to do this afternoon. I have to get back to Columbia. Not in a rush like that. You know, I want the Holy Spirit to have preeminence. My wife didn't want to tell you to greet every one of you, Brother McFan, your wife, and my children. And maybe next one of these times we get to drive up and bring the whole family up. And we have a real camp meeting. Your seven and my seven, that's 14. And plus the wives and the husbands, so that's a crowd by itself. Amen. Amen. And my girls are pretty influenced singers at the church back home. I have one son that's a keyboard player that plays real well. And that's the one seems like the enemy attacks real hard because of the gift that God put in his life. But I appreciate, you know, I ain't going to tell you my children age because I get it all wrong. And then my wife might get on me. So, but the oldest one is 30, and my baby girl, she's 11. And I have those steps, 21, 22, 24, 20, somewhere up in the area. So I got them all kind of ages. My girls, all of them is, all my daughters are still home with me. My oldest daughter, she's a school teacher in her third year. She's 25, and I have another one that's 21 that's going to school for foreign languages, so, and one in the 11th grade. So I just appreciate them. She prayed for me last night and prayed for me this morning, and that the Lord had just blessed the services. Amen. Enough about me this morning. Let us all stand. I have to kind of warn you, at times I get a little excited. I get a little loud sometimes so the brother can turn the mic like they like. My wife always told me, don't you scream in their mic. So she done warned me, but I still going to wind up doing it anyhow. But, you know, she's a real good wife. I really, in 29 years of marriage, really, you know, 30 years of marriage, and I really appreciate her. You know, I was 28 when I got married, and she was 24. So we grew into it. Amen. And I want to tell you, there's a mystery about marriage. It's a mystery, but it's a great mystery. You know, that's why I believe when God put people together, nothing, no devil in hell can separate them. I'm not saying he's not going to come, but God will keep you. Amen. If we turn to the scriptures this morning in the book of 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 19. And it reads, 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 19. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Amen. Let us pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word. Lord, but we know that it takes the Spirit to make the word come alive. Amen. God, have your way this morning. Take every spirit, God, of the enemy that's been coming against the people, Lord, and let your word find root. Hallelujah. Give us a refilling this morning. Give us a closer walk with thee. Take us out of the picture, Lord. And let the Holy Ghost have preeminence.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, it's evident that I know, God, that something, God, is happening even now. Lord, bless now. Hallelujah. Touch the bodies that are sick. Lord, move every spirit of illness, every depression spirit, Lord, that's been coming against the people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Also, turn with me. We come back to the Corinth. Turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. I believe that's what I want. I'm not sure. Yes, 1 Thessalonians 2. I just want to read one scripture, and I want to go back to Corinthians 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which ye heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. This morning, if we go back to Corinthians 1 and 7, I want to speak to you for just a few minutes this morning on something that we had shared back home and around and about a little bit, and it seems to be very timely for the season that we are in. And we read it here in Paul, in Corinthians, the 17th chapter, Paul said, now, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, at least the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And I want to speak a little bit the effect of the word. The effect of the word. You know, we have the prophet of God said, made a statement one time. He said, you know, every sermon that you hear, he said, it's going to affect you one way or the other. You're either going to leave out worse or you're going to leave out better. And I believe with all of our heart this morning that we're here to receive the word. I don't believe nobody came to church to leave out worse. I don't believe that we are, you know, listening to the things that we've heard to be worse people. But I believe that we want to be better Christians. Because after all, the word Christian is Christ-like. And the only way that we can be Christ-like, that Christ has to have rule over our lives. Talking about Christianity, and I hear so much talk about it until it really gets too disgusting, because Christianity nowadays has become no more than a label that people place on churches. And they label you as, well, you know, I'm a Christian. Well, to identify the Christian, what is a Christian? If a Christian, you're only a Christian because you go to church or because you keep church bylaws and because you believe a certain form of a doctrine, is that what a Christian is? But I believe Christian is to be Christ-like. And to be Christ-like, some changes have to take place. The word effect, I like it very much because it really describes that what I believe has to take place in each and every one of our lives. Now, we all are striving to be like him. We have no other example better than the very life of Jesus Christ. If you're going to measure yourself, don't measure yourself by a church. Don't measure it by a preacher. Don't even measure it by the message. Because remember now, if that message isn't written in the Bible, it's not the message. Because the message is Christ. And in the beginning was the Word. See? The Word was with God and the Word was God. So the message is Christ. It has to be one person. No other person get that kind of glory. So in pointing you to being like somebody, that's what I want to point you to. I want to point you to Jesus Christ. Okay, the word effect. It means a change that results when something is done or happened. A change that results when something is done or happened. Also, it means a power to bring about results. And that's what Christianity is about. It's about a change taking place. Now, it's not the kind of change that we think about. You know, we change, you know, like me, weight sizes and things, but that's temporarily. I'm talking about a change that happens inwardly. It's something that we cannot do ourselves. Yes, you can change diets. You can make a lot of bylaws or regulation that, well, like a New Year resolution, but all those things are things that we do. But when God does something, it's supernatural. It's something that we couldn't do for our own self. But through an experience with him, he's able to change our old corruptible nature that we were born with and make you sons and daughters of the living God. That's the message. A message to change us from what we used to be to what God wants us to be. Because many of us has had goals and accomplishments that we want to do. And God has something. See, God got a plan for your life. All of us, one time at a point, sometimes God interrupts my own thing. And yes, for a while
Because we want change. I want the word to change me. I don't want some intellectual conception of the message of the hour, but I want the reality. I just don't want the importation of what I heard being preached. There's nothing wrong with the book, but I want the Jesus of the quotation. I want to experience that power of the resurrection in my own life. Because if not, you don't have that kind of faith for the word. You only have an intellectual conception of what's been preached. And we can amen that it is the truth, because it is. It is the truth what the prophet said. But what kind of effect is it having on you? You hear what the preacher is saying? You listen to the different testimonies. You listen to the different
experiences, especially in this hour. You know, it's almost like hearing old Proverbs. And what we have heard, you know, these things are nothing but the truth that God used to serve the God. But yet, is that all we have? Stories that happened years back? You can't live off of somebody else's testimonies. You can't live off somebody else's experience. But God wants you to have your own. See, you got to know God in a personal way.
The way
in
which you'll be able to stand on your own conviction. That's not the people in a traditional manner. You know, and the world focuses a lot on the field. You know that we give the people that intellectual conception of message.
Because the word is not having the right kind of effect
upon the people alive, because who we want the people to? Who are we pointing to? If it's not Jesus, if anybody else can insult above Jesus Christ, it's anti-Christ. See, Jesus Christ must be the center of our service. Hey, he must be the complete center of who we are pointing to. Without that, we've given them another Jesus. And Paul, please say, you got to do it. Too far to the left or to the right, but let's keep it right in the middle of the room. And even the messenger, if you notice his teaching, who he was pointing to. Who was he saying? Nobody was Jesus Christ. Now, we've had temporary movement. We had sparks of fire. We after the spark goes, then we are back to just warm coal. But we ought to be on fire. But why is it we're not? The proverb said, when the fire, when there's wood in, the fire go out. We fail to realize that we've got to keep our own fire burning.
put wood on it. Not just a letter, but we need the Spirit. The Bible said a letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. We need Spirit. We got plenty of letter, but we need the Spirit to cook in the letter to make the word come alive. The word will live in us, through us. Producing Jesus Christ again on earth. God made manifest in every vessel again. Even your very life will be a supernatural experience. Why? Because you got a supernatural God. So you're full of the supernatural. What we have today, a lot of intellectual information, and all the things that were quoted to us, and all the things that we heard. You know, if you're reading off of all lifeline things that he occurred, we be just like any other church. We be just like any other denomination. But you're reading off of Wesley, you know, a Luther, you know, a realist, the history of what God used to be. But that's good, but what is he doing now? Is God alive now? Is he real now? Is the God that went down to me, where is he at? We need to find him.
Amen, brother.
If he's in Jeffersonville, let's go. Mm-hmm. But we need to find out, where is the God of Elijah? See, if we can't identify him now, we're only going to point people to history.
Right.
Mm. That's good, brother. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. Preach it, brother.
History.
Mm. Hallelujah.
The thing that God used to do.
Right.
It's so real even now that you don't even hear people anymore have a testimony that said, God filled me with the Holy Ghost last night. That's a strange language right there. You don't even hear it being preached. We have an opportunity to work with a group of people there in South Carolina. And right now they are without a pastor because their pastor had died. And it's sad to say they've been lingering now almost 3 years. Message. Without a pastor. Because of the confusion that came about. Because nothing was put in place. And they have one brother there that is ministering, you know, but his life
is not measuring up. Amen. You see the importance of church. It's about a life.
Amen.
It's not about knowledge.
Amen.
It's not how many quotes you can remember and how well you can put the quotes together. That's not it.
Yes, sir, brother. Amen.
It's about the life.
Amen.
Do we have the life? If we don't have the life, then we only have information about what somebody did. But God had made it so obviously in this hour that he waved to us and showed us now, God that you see now is back here again.
Amen.
In other words, he made God visible.
Amen. 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 That's good, brother.
He brought God back in view.
Amen.
To the church. Because the church has given the people false hope.
Amen.
Giving them a false security because of the traditions that were set up. But God don't want you to have traditions. God wants you to have the reality.
Amen.
That I am alive. And what I did in the Bible days, I am doing it right now.
Amen. Preach it, brother. Hallelujah. Praise the living Lord. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
But the problem was, is what happened in the years that I've seen, you know, I didn't really came to the knowledge of the message until about 87, 88. And when I began to start going around the churches, what I saw they were doing, now I see it more clearly because of who they've been pointing the people to. And let me tell you something. You can be excited knowing that God sent you a prophet. But guess what? You can also go to hell knowing that.
Amen.
Yes, you can still go to hell knowing God sent you a prophet. Because remember, the prophet can't save you.
Amen.
And but one person took our penalty upon him.
Amen.
And that was Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen, brother.
But the same people excited in 89, 88. You know, I remember we had a speaker from Canada. It was another assembly. And they had it at the schoolhouse. And I was just first coming in. You know, and I came in. And the guy was, I believe it was Brother Briscoe. He was preaching on spiritual revelation. And it was far over my head because I was just started studying it. And not really studying. I was just reading. And when I saw the people's reaction to what he was saying, they were running, they were screaming, they were shouting, praising God about it. But you know, at the end of the service, not one person was at the altar. There wasn't even an altar call made. So I said, wow, man. They got it. I'll never be able to catch up with this. Excitement. There's nothing wrong with being excited, but what are you excited about?
Amen.
We only get excited of what we heard. But the real when you can be excited is when you had an experience.
Amen.
That'll make you excited.
Amen.
It's like this. It's like a woman that never had a child before. And she read all the books, and she may even watch movies. She may talk to all these women, but she never had an experience of a birth.
That's right.
Of a child.
That's
right. So she don't really know what the women feel. She heard it. Why? Because she never had an experience. But when you get your own experience with God, your life will be different.
Amen.
Your walk will be different.
Amen.
Your testimony will be different.
Amen.
You can't even live off your own husband's testimony.
Amen.
And he can live off yours. That's why, you know, even in a relationship, no matter how much that man know about God, how much his wife might want to know about God, until she meet God herself, it's like eating something that was good. You tell everybody, this is good. Mm. They don't know what you're talking about.
That's right. That's right.
But they never taste it.
Amen.
And it's the same way with God. God is good.
Yes. Amen.
But you have no idea what I'm talking. We look at God being good well because he can pay my bills. Mm. He can give me a job. And he can put food on me. That's all right too, but that's not the good I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm talking about something that has transformed your life from what you used to be to what you can even believe you are.
Amen. Amen.
And only God can do that.
Amen.
Even going to church, you can't even do it.
Amen.
You can go to church 362 days out of the year and yet don't know God in reality.
That's right.
That's why in America, the privilege we have of going to church, look at us.
Amen.
What a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
We go to church when we want them, when we don't want them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't feel like it, we don't go.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the privilege of being American.
Amen.
But even going to church and not knowing God, what is the purpose? What kind of effect is it having on you to come to even to this church and not really experience the power of God in your life?
Amen.
What good is us hearing a message?
Amen.
Do we need the message? For this generation, because every generation had a messenger and a message.
Amen.
But what kind of effect is it having on us? We hear it on Sunday, by Wednesday it's gone.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother.
No change.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us, you know, from year this year about gone already? And when you look at your own personal life as a Christian, have you grown?
Amen. Good question.
Have you gotten any stronger in the Lord? Are you right in the same spot?
Amen, brother.
Are you back up? Most of us say, and we'll say that, we want a closer walk. But what are we doing?
Amen.
Prophet of God said, you want a closer walk with the Lord? He said, read your Bible and pray every day.
Amen.
He didn't even say, listen to his tapes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, read your Bible and pray every day.
Amen.
Wow, is that hard?
Mm-hmm.
It don't sound hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest thing for us to do.
Amen.
To read about it and pray. But we have no problem eating every day, washing every day. Lord knows we ain't going to miss work.
Mm.
But when it comes to reading your Bible and praying every day, we don't value that as being great. We ought to highly esteem that above
everything. Amen. Help us, Lord Jesus. Amen, brother.
It ought to be more important than your job.
Amen.
Because without God, you can't even get up and go to the job.
Amen. Amen.
But you see how we do God? He get fifth and sixth place.
Mm. That's true. Amen.
Amen.
When God wants first place.
Amen. Amen.
Something my pastor told me way back when I first got married. He told me this, and it stick with me yet.
Mm-hmm.
He said, brother, let me tell you and your wife something. He said, don't y'all put nothing before God.
Amen.
And even without knowing what all it meant, I said, okay, but I understand. But it was something about it, I held to it. Not even fully understanding why he said that. And now here I see the effect of it. Don't put nothing. He said, not even your life. When the children come, don't even put them before God.
Amen.
And if we were to look at our life today, how much we put before him. And yet we say we love him. We love him, don't we? We say we do with all of our heart. We have to say, we love you, Lord. We love you. But he said, you love me, keep my commandments. See, your love will drive you to keep the word.
Yeah,
if it's real love.
Amen.
But some of us love today and fall out of love tomorrow. Amen. We don't love God because of the good thing he can give us. But look what he did for us.
Amen.
That ought to outweigh everything that even happened. You can look to what he's already done. One brother back home, Brother Ernest, he had a statement that he uses all the time, and I think it's a good one. He said, you know, if God don't do nothing else for me in my life, he said, he done enough.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Look at it. If he don't even heal you or deliver you, he done enough.
Amen.
You tell me what man will go to hell for you. What man would take the penalty of our sin upon himself?
Amen.
Not that he needed to do it, but he did it for us.
Amen.
In other words, personally, he did it for you. That alone ought to make you just say, Lord, thank you.
Amen.
Why? Because the word has an effect on our lives.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you an experience I had in coming up. You know, when I left home and went out into the streets. And I went to a place and I started selling drugs. Even while I was in the club of the door, the voice of God spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
And told me, you won't sell drugs no more. I wasn't even in no messy church. I was in the club doors. It had the drugs on me, ready to distribute. But because of what I heard, the voice, I didn't know nothing about what I know today about the voice of God, but even what I heard then, it stopped me.
Amen.
In my tracks. A sinner. Left home, a Christian atmosphere. Wanted to do something my way.
Amen.
And what happened when you do that? One thing will lead you to another.
Yes. Amen.
And then you'll wake up one morning wondering, how did I get out here?
Amen.
Amen.
Children, please, ma'am. Amen. Please, sir. Take advantage. You may not understand it all. But there ain't nobody can do you like Jesus.
Amen.
What this world has to offer you is a mirage.
Yes, sir.
They give you a good picture of the beauty and the glamour and the success and the luxury. Like I don't like luxury like that. But my friend put me in a real nice room, and you know, to see the people there at the Marriott, you know, eating, I guess, on the hound and the hog, they call it. And I'm a little Tampa, Florida boy. You know, whatnot. And I just sat there and ate me a Philly cheesesteak sandwich with fries. Most of them had their beer, you know, and their liquor and whatever else, you know, their glamour and whatnot. But I said, man, I feel so out of place here. So I just ate my sandwich, you know, and I left. You know, but see, I don't have to have that. I don't need the riches and the fame and those kind of, no, just give me Jesus.
Amen.
Come on, he'll satisfy everything.
Amen.
If you get Jesus the right way, that's the problem with us. What we really need is a Pentecostal experience.
Amen.
We need one of these services. And my pastor said, we need one of these nights that awake we can get down here.
Amen.
And stay to God, do something.
Amen.
Amen.
But the problem, we don't have the time. We don't have the time to do it. We got so much other stuff that seem to can't wait. But I'm asking you a question. If you knew this was your last day on earth, what would you do differently? I know all of us would really say, I really want to know God. I really want to know that he's in me. And if he's not there now, sister, brother, find your altar.
Amen.
Get some way with God and cry out. Don't settle for a second-hand religion. Don't settle for something the church did hand down. See, this religion that we're talking about, you know, religion on a covering. But I want to talk to you about an experience.
Amen.
An experience that I'll make you live differently than what you think you could do.
Amen.
See, the change is, you know, they said effect means a change that results when something is done. Happen. We need something to happen.
Amen, amen, brother.
And what happened, I found out, triple my friends, is because that we feel the Spirit of God on us, on the flesh. We can sometimes even get it on our spirit, and we'll think that's the more deception area. Because we can do pretty good for a while, you know, and enjoying God, but when trial, let me get that in Matthew 13.
Amen.
And I'm coming to the close.
Hallelujah.
What I'm finding out, and what I've been working with the little church down home, you know, because I've been going in real regular trying to help them until they get somebody there permanently. But one of the things I found out about them, and this is a church that has been establishing the message, probably the pastor came in to be about 77, 78. A young guy that really caught a wind of God when he was in school about the message of the hour. And he started pastoring a couple of years after that. But I found out now that the people lives in the shape they're in, there is no way you can be born again and you can conduct yourself like that. See, don't you know, no matter what we say we got, something God allows something to happen, it'll show what's really in us.
Yes.
Especially when trials and trouble come. It really will show what's in you.
Amen.
Because we all can talk it. But when trials come,
amen,
and life struggle comes, can we still remain,
mm-hmm,
as Christians?
Amen.
Amen. Or does something else come out of us that's really not like God? I'm not talking about this frustration, but I'm talking about people that can really almost literally fight physically in church.
Mine.
And these were some people there that really supposed to be really spiritual.
Amen.
I knew the pastor before he had left, and I was preaching for him then, and he told me that he might need my help. And I didn't really understand what he's saying, but now I understand what he was saying. He had a group of people that had believed and heard the message, but they struggle so hard living a Christian life. Why are we struggling living a Christian life?
Amen.
Christian life shouldn't be a struggle. Look at even in the natural. A dog or a sheep, their nature that they have in them, they don't have to struggle to bark. A dog don't struggle to bark.
That's right.
It's in him to do it. It's part of his makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So when time to bark, even a puppy.
That's true.
Why? He let you know, this is in my nature. It's already in me. And when God's nature come in us,
amen.
It's not a struggle.
Amen.
You have battles, you have trials, but guess what? God will give you peace.
Amen.
In the midst of it all. Storm of life will come. They will come. Offenses will come. But then, if the nature of God is in you, it will teach you how to conduct yourself.
Amen, brother. Hallelujah.
It hurt me to even see that the people, you know, but lately, especially the other day, I went there last Wednesday, and I saw a great change. Everybody seemed to be calmer. Even after services, the people wouldn't even shake hands. And they would just... But now another way that they were hugging one another and greeting one another.
Amen.
Brothers were fellowshipping and greeting one another. You know, one brother, they couldn't really even let him preach because of the destruction he was causing in the church, but now it seemed to be they got a better spirit about it.
Amen.
You know, but I still don't want to take that for granted because that could only be on this spirit.
Mm.
It needs to go deeper.
Amen.
Some of us, we have it on our spirit, but it needs to go deeper.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
That old Pentecostal song that we used to sing way back, and it says, deep. Deep down in my heart. Said, I got the love of God deep. That's what we needed. We need it deep. Because let me tell you something. Life, especially now, what we are facing and what we got to deal with in this generation, Lord have mercy. The home life, the work life, economical life, marriage life, it's a battle. You're going to need something to keep you.
Amen. Hallelujah, man. Yes, sir.
You, if anybody here got a lot of money, when you go through your battle, pay for your child to leave you. You can't even pay your way out of your trouble.
That's true.
When you get down to sick, real sick. You know, we had one brother lately, one of our sisters, a musician, and she, her brother, had an aneurysm in the brain. When a young brother and the sister, she really, really a spiritual minded sister. And so she went to see her brother and his wife were there. None of them were believers. But she been trying to talk to them about the goodness of God. And she was trying to tell them that Junior, now he used to go to church at one time and stopped going to church. He used to even serve God one time, but he quit. He said, writing the message to churches, but he went back. You know why? Because he never got a hold of God.
Amen.
See, you can sit around church 4 years, 10 years, 12 years, and yet God know what will take to get you out. But God is so good, he gives us space to get filled with his spirit.
Amen.
To get anchored in his word.
Amen.
To let his word have something, trouble is headed our way.
Yes. Amen.
Like we never seen.
True.
It's coming. And nothing we can do about it, but be ready.
That's true.
We got to be ready, church, for what's about to come. We're talking about getting ready for a rapture, but there's a persecution coming before the rapture. You know that.
That's true.
Are we ready for it? Are we ready? Do we have what it takes? Lord, do I have what it takes to keep me, Lord, stable? To keep me firm? To keep me, Lord, and not so much you holding on to God, but God, when he comes, he holds on to you.
Amen. Amen.
It's like an anchor. When it's thrown out, that anchor holds.
Yes, sir, it does.
Because it goes to a root and it gets a grip. And that ship, it might toss left and right and spin around, but that anchor is anchored.
Amen.
That's how our soul got to be. You got to be anchored. Because the storms and the winds blow in your home, in your life, in your children, in your wife, in your church, you're going to need something to keep you. I don't think we take full advantage of what God has given us.
Yes, sir,
I don't really think we're taking really full advantage of getting the Holy Ghost now.
Amen,
be certain.
Amen.
You got it.
Amen.
Don't think. If you're thinking, I think so. If you're wondering, if there's a question in your mind, you need to be sure. You need to be sure, Lord.
Amen,
I need to be certain. Even if you got it, you might need another touch.
Because
I notice, especially now in this hour, there's a great cooling off.
Yes, sir.
Yes, there is, brother. Amen.
There's a great cooling off amongst even the message believers.
Amen.
They don't care about coming to church like they used to. Their love for the word, it ain't like it used to be.
Amen, that's true.
Their prayer life, Lord have mercy, let's not talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Their prayer life is pretty much gone.
Mm-hmm.
The most missed service in any church is prayer night. Mm-hmm. Along with communion.
Amen.
But the most needful thing in our life is prayer.
Amen, brother. Preach it.
Without a prayer life, you can't really be a genuine Christian.
Amen.
Amen.
Then you get no communication.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Not with God.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we talk to God in the car. Mm. You know, maybe sometime at work, we'll say a little 5-minute, little doozy prayer. But God just wants you to spend some time. Because you can't really have a relationship with nobody. You don't spend no time with them. It's like a husband married a wife and he going off, you know, with the boys and running around and working and all things. And he got a wife. He forgot that his wife requiring time spent. She said, when are you going to spend? My wife gets on me. So I get a little busy. She said, I'm here.
That's true.
When are you going to spend some time with me? Why? Because it's supposed to be a relationship.
Amen.
God wants us to spend some time. God said, when are you going to spend some time with me? When the last time you talked to me? When the last time I talked to you? See, people don't realize that God talks to. It's not a one-way relationship, but it's a two-way relationship. How many of you that have a husband or a wife, you talking to them, they don't say nothing?
Mm.
If she looking at you, you know, I'm kind of a spring filler because I don't do a lot of talking. Why say, you talk all right, but when you get home, you know, and she can talk pretty good, you know, and go, and I'm not a big talker, but I learn to get better. But If you had a real relationship, there ought to be a communication.
Amen. That's true.
And not one-sided. See, we had this one side of God is constantly talking to us, but we don't have time to talk to him. He's warning us. He has given us something that will change our very lives. And the people always say, well, it was okay 10 or 15 years ago. But look at us now. We unfruitful, we dried up, we was unconcerned about, you know, our own spiritual walk. We not even concerned about our own self. Where we at?
That is so true.
Where we at with God?
Amen.
Even if you come into church, where you at in your experience?
Amen.
What kind of effect is the message of the hour having on you?
Amen. Hallelujah.
My mom, she's still alive today, still in the apostolic church. Mm. We just had a birthday for her, 98 years old.
Amen.
And if I look at her 98 years old lifespan and for what she is standing for, she'll make the message believer look sick. Because you know that the Pentecost, even most of them now have drifted back into all kind of things, you know, ungodly living. They go back to the, you know, the way they dressed and all. But Pentecost, they believe in real holiness.
That's right.
Amen.
But this Pentecost and apostolic today, that's not Pentecost. That's not holiness.
That's
it. My mom, 98, and she came to visit the church a couple of weeks. I wasn't there, but I think my sister tried to surprise me, but really the surprise was on her because I wasn't there. But my wife though was there, and they went, you know, but my mom is a, if you want to hit, let somebody testify, get her the mic. And she'll tell you that how God delivered her from cancer.
Amen.
When she was around about 86, 87, and she disputed, I don't know, I told her that that doctor tried to tell her she had cancer. And she said, doctor, I don't have no cancer.
Amen.
And no matter what he tried to tell her, the tests and the result, he said, doctor, he said, I understand what you're saying, but you ain't hear what I'm saying.
Amen. Glory.
Praise the living Lord.
Hallelujah.
I mean, she knew where she stood with what she had. And after a little while, you know, they went home and came back for another checkup. And they did the tests again. And this time, Ms. Palmer said, we don't know what happened. She said, I know what happened. I told you.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah. Praise.
She said, I told you I don't have it. She said, sir, you don't know that God can do anything?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the
living God. And it's true. See, she got a hold of something.
Amen.
She met something.
Amen.
She know from a personal experience that God is real.
Amen.
I wish we knew that.
Amen.
I wish we knew that.
Amen.
That's why she began to tell her church that. She said, you know, in my church, she said, many people done gone back to wearing ungodly thing, garments, and putting on things that they didn't used to do. But she said, let me tell you something. She said, I don't even have time to go back. I don't have time for it.
Amen.
And it's just, she realized she's 98. Go back to what?
Amen.
Go back to what the world is doing?
Mm-hmm.
To be condemned by God? To have to stand before God in that day and realize your word said, Lord, not for us to do such and such thing, and then we do it anyhow? And then we're going to justify what the word say? See, that's why anything that we see written in the Bible is nothing but the truth.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Grievous said, well, man wrote that.
All right.
I could go to something on that. 2 Timothy.
Thank you, brother. Amen.
I got to close.
Keep going, brother.
I like this scripture because it really just broke some things for me. I was witnessing to a young man one time, and he did trying to, you know how they do it. They try to convince me that, you know, that the Bible is only a white man book. And so I asked him a question. I said, sir, I said, if a black man wrote it, could you still, if the words in it were exactly the same and you knew a black man wrote it, would you serve God?
Right.
You know, he'd. So see, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
But I was trying to let him know this right here in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Amen. Mm.
Amen.
All.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God wrote, inspired the scripture.
Yes,
holy men were moved by the Spirit of God to write it.
Amen.
But the inspiration was God.
Amen.
That's why there's no contradiction in here.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
There is no contradiction. Man contradicts.
Yes, sir.
God is perfect.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me just say it. God is perfect.
Amen.
So if we're going to live by anything, you know, if we're going to live by any book on the earth, it ought to be the Bible.
Amen.
How many of you believe that?
Amen. Hallelujah.
If any other book that's written, no book can touch this.
No, sir, brother. None whatsoever.
Let me read a little something to you, brother, in the front of my Bibles. I got this Bible. Let me read it. It said, the Bible is the most amazing book ever written.
Amen.
In fact, it is a collection of 66 books which Christians revere as the very word of God. Exactly.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It challenges the soul, informs the mind, moves the heart of its readers because God himself speaks.
Yes.
I like that. I like when God speaks. My word might fail. Your word might. But when God speaks, it must happen. Now notice, every one of us are going to be judged by this book.
Amen.
Not your church.
No, sir.
Not your preacher.
No, sir.
Bible said, let every man be a liar. That God, because we got some lying false prophets.
Ooh, my. Mm.
Yeah. My brother, preach on, brother.
He said, well, Brother Jeremiah, how you know what you're preaching is right? Because it's the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm only saying what the Bible says.
Amen.
Now, I asked him, I said, now, if you see something in the Bible that God say don't do it, I said, I already told you, I said that all scripture is inspired by God. So if God say don't do a certain thing, and if you do it, and then is it God's fault?
No, sir.
You fail.
Amen.
To follow.
Amen.
What God said.
Amen.
It's like this. If you fail to obey the laws of the land, like a red light, a stop sign, and then that blue light comes whirling behind you, and we get all scared. You know how we do.
Amen.
We really get, oh, Lord. Now you're calling the Lord.
Amen.
But you did that. And now there's a penalty.
That's right.
Coming because you broke the law.
Amen.
See, so God, I take all time, God does not send a person to hell for drinking, smoking, running around, lying. See, that's not why God sent you to hell. Matter of fact, God don't even send nobody to hell.
Amen.
You got a choice to make. And because of the choice that you make, even this morning, some of us, we are here, and God is telling you, you got to make a choice.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Serve me or else.
Amen.
That's true.
Hallelujah.
But I like it because God is such a good gentleman.
Amen.
God don't beat you to do it. He doesn't force you or twist your arm or hold a gun to your head. God said, now, I put life and death before you.
Amen.
Which one you want? I asked the question this morning. If I were to ask somebody, how many of y'all want to go to heaven and raise your hand?
Amen.
Everybody will raise their hand, right? But then are you willing to do what it takes to get there?
Amen.
See, that's the choice you got to make.
Amen.
God don't force us. God said, now, there's a life that I want you to live that you can't live it on your own. So I got something that I'm going to give you to cause you to live this life. And that's the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
People don't like that Holy Ghost. And as some said that they're afraid of it. They are afraid of the very thing that they need to keep them.
Amen.
Listen, from the beginning, he says, we want God's word to live in our heart and be real in our lives.
Amen.
That's what I want. I want realities. I want to know that a living God is in me.
Yes.
Can I realize that my own life is horrible?
Amen,
amen. My thoughts are horrible.
Amen.
I need God mine.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
You need God mine because this mind here,
no good.
Lord have mercy.
Amen.
The greatest battle I ever fought,
amen.
Even while you sleep.
Yes, sir.
The thoughts,
amen.
And all that come to this old mind.
Yes, sir.
That's why Paul said we got to cast it down.
Amen.
Listen, 5, identification of the true church. He said the gospel is the power of God to make the word act.
Amen.
I like that.
I like it too, brother. Amen.
The gospel is the power of God. That's why Paul said, preach the word, demonstrate it. Don't just give the people a letter. They need the power.
Amen.
They need the spirit to live the word. Or else, we're only giving them information. That Jesus one day, he died on a cross and for the sins of the whole world, and his blood that he shed for us, yeah, oh, that is good, and that's true what you're saying, but the people need an experience.
Amen.
What happened to most of us is, not that we don't have it, our experience done got dull.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You said, but how do you know? Because we drag the church.
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother. It's good.
That's true.
Amen.
Our experience done got done. How do you know? We don't pray like we used to.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We don't consecrate our lives like we used to. We don't even worship like we used to. What is worship? Paul was a song leader. I used to be a song leader. And he's trying to, you know, get the people in the spirit of worship,
amen,
and all.
Amen, amen.
And they're looking at him like,
my.
Amen, that's true, brother.
I wonder why he sung that song.
Mm-hmm.
But then you give us one.
All right.
But it used to be that when we came to church,
amen.
Before sometimes I think buildings give us another, but when we need houses and storefronts, we were happier.
Amen.
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 How many of y'all know that?
Amen, brother.
Well, my family told me about how he was in his house and all. But sometimes that was the best times. That people were in unified. They had unity of spirit. They could love their enemies. They could love them that may despitefully use them. The love of God was so rich. Family stayed together. Now look at us. What happened? Did the gospel change? No.
No, sir.
Prophet of God said in the treasury book, he said that how that Antichrist was going to come into the midst of the church and begin to make it lukewarm and powerless.
Amen.
Antichrist did this.
Yes.
I'm not going to read Matthew 13, but it talks about the seed, how it was sown on different ground.
Yes, sir.
How it was sowed upon different ground,
Amen.
The thorns and all.
That's right.
Why? Because the word had no root.
Amen.
Amen.
See, when something got a root, it got to bring forth the change.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Church, let us stand. We ought to be the most happiest people
Amen.
On this earth.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right,
bro. I honestly believe what we really need. You know, the Son of God said we can sing too much and we can talk too much and eat too much, but he said we never can pray too much.
Amen.
Now, my pastor is a man that believes in prayer.
Amen.
He is a man that believes in prayer. I mean, he shut, you know, he's pretty strange sometimes, you know, but, you know, he shut the... The singer said, no more singing for a month. Let's come and pray.
Amen.
What good is us singing and we ain't singing in the spirit, brother?
Amen.
We need the spirit.
Amen.
Not the information. I believe none of us have problems with the message. But what the problem is, we need the spirit
Amen.
To come and quicken the word.
Amen.
In other words, I don't want to be a dead, dried up, messy believer.
Amen.
Yeah. God said, I said, prophet and those things. No. Come on. I believe the Holy Ghost want to do a work in us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God don't need numbers. God don't need 5,000 to do it. God is in a few faithful people that he can get in his hand and he can get in their heart and take control of their lives and lead them
Amen.
By his own spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
We need the leadership of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen.
We need God to break yokes.
Hallelujah.
Come Amen. On, we need something to happen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Church that become so dry, unified. I got to tell you, South Carolina, we become so churchy, we will church it in church and chicken. We so churchified. So messified. Without any kind of experience. Don't tell me you're in the message and you can't produce no life.
Hallelujah.
No, you tell me you believe what you hear. But to have an experience of this message is to know God for yourself.
Amen.
That's the only way you're going to have the joy in your own heart is to get it for yourself.
Amen.
Musicians, come, please. Telling the church back home, we have something we're supposed to be doing with them in Marion. And one of the things that I asked them to do, I told them that what we're going to have there is to try to have a service night. But I said, we ain't coming to sing. We ain't coming to talk. We ain't coming to quote you. We coming to pray. I said, because we, most of us are good readers and we good, we can remember things real well. I said, but what we're lacking is the spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
And I found out that, and they even told, I asked them, I said, how many of y'all really praying, sister, brother, you'll be, is sad? They don't. Amen. One thing, they've been relying on their pastor to do everything. And sometimes that's what the church does. Bud McFadden, you do it. Preach me happy. Preach me deliverance.
Amen.
He said, no, sister, you got to bring something to get something.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Because church start home.
Hallelujah.
Church starts home.
Amen.
You only bring in what you do home here.
Yes.
If you ain't doing nothing home, that's why we ain't getting nothing at church.
Amen.
But when we start crying out and praying, Lord, give me something.
Yes.
Try it sometime.
Amen.
Try it at home.
Yes.
And watch the difference it'll have when we come to church.
Amen.
You take the load off the pastor. Because they really labor in the gospel to get something, but the people ain't doing nothing.
That's true.
And he coming out, you know, and like he hit the block wall.
That's right.
Why? Because home. Home life. You tell them, you write it home in your refrigerator. Father, how much time do you spend in God a week?
Mm.
And do you know why we get results at church? Some of y'all are really doing it. But this is supposed to be a unified. All of us got to get in tune.
Yes.
Not one person. Not just the pastor, his wife. I feel so sad for the pastor sometimes because of the laboring that they do and the burden they have for the church and for the people. And you can't make people do nothing. You beg and you plead, y'all, let's get a hold of God. Let's come. Come on, y'all built a nice altar here and all, but are we using it? Are we using this? Or is it for decoration?
Amen.
And our pastor told him, he said, move them mics in front of this altar and let them people get here.
Hallelujah. Amen.
See, that's the old timey way when people used to get convicted under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost because of the word, and they run to the altar without you even calling it.
Amen.
But now today, it's like a prime pump. Come, y'all, come. God calling you.
That's good, brother. Amen.
And we sit there like, what are you talking about?
Amen.
Take an example I had. Play something softly, sister. I had this experience of this truck that I was riding by coming to work. And it was a truck that was going to a turkey farm. And this particular truck, you know, when it got to that place of the farm, it was a bunch of them on both sides. The cages on some of them, the doors, cages came open. And one of the turkeys fell out on the ground. And I thought about people, you know. This turkey had been riding probably from North Carolina to get to South Carolina. But when he had an opportunity to go free, he sat there. Didn't realize that that was his opportunity to run for the woods. Because the cage had came open. And I said, you know, God, you've done the same thing. You opened the cage. We came out of denominationalism and you came to make us free. But look at us. We just sit there. Like what I need to do. Each and every one of us this morning know our personal experience with God that you need another touch. You don't want to be embarrassed. Are you thinking because of pride? Forget about pride. I need Jesus. I need a change. Brother, come sing a little bit of song. I need a change. You need a change. My children, my wife, this church, we need a change. Only God can do it. Personally, we're backslid. And God calling us to repent and come back. Do your first works. Ephesus left their first love. They left God and began to do other things. I'm afraid that's what we've done. We've left God. The world means more to us. Our job, and our money, and our pretty wives, and our good old children, they take the place of the love of God. But oh, church, Jesus, return. Return. Draw nigh to me, and I draw nigh to you. Come back to your first love. Come back to me again, and I'll receive you. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I don't fast like I used to. I don't seek you like I used to, Lord. Something happened. But I want to come back. Come in this morning.